You're listening to Alien X Radio, and this is your afternoon interview. And we are back. And right now, live on the air, I have my guest is actor David Crawford from the original Dawn of the Dead. David, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing excellent.
Good.
Much better now that my guest is online.
Well, you're sounding good on the air, so that's what counts.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I do want to mention that you have a voice that is, it's really sounds good for radio.
Well, thank you very much. In fact, I do voiceovers, narrations, video narrations, and TV radio commercials. I just did a bunch of them from the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show. They're all over the airwaves here, so I'm famous.
Oh, now you're famous, right?
Yes.
Because of those. Well, sir, obviously, you're in the classic Dawn of the Dead, and we're going to, of course, be talking about that. But before I get into that, the whole Dawn of the Dead phenomenon, what was your background before you got into acting? I mean, obviously, you did something before you were an actor.
Well, I've interweaved other things among the acting. I've always been an actor since high school. If you're a real honest working actor as opposed to a movie star, it's hard to make a living just acting. So I've done a lot of other things too. I've been in film production back when there was film. Did a lot of editing, directing, script writing, and loved it. But then when the acting half got busier, I went to that pretty much full time. And I've worked as a writer and editor, cab driver. Yay! Everybody needs their difficult job. Every artist needs to get down to earth sometimes. And cab driving was great because I met a lot of interesting characters that I have sometimes used since.
Oh, I would imagine so. Yeah, and you were driving the cab in Pittsburgh?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'd imagine there's some characters around there.
Oh yeah, I could write a novel.
Yeah. So you obviously pulled different characters from people that you picked up and utilized them in different parts that you've played?
Well, yeah, you use bits and pieces of them. Like right now I'm working on a solo show about H.P. Lovecraft, which I hope to perform at, some of the conventions. And maybe in Edinburgh, Scotland. I took my Poe show over there last summer and had a great time. Did it every day for the whole month of August. It was a great workout. So I'm working on Lovecraft now, and I'm using stuff that I've picked up from people, in the cab and other places. Like, Lovecraft was a really nerdy guy, very isolated, very socially sort of like Sheldon on, The Big Bang Theory. He had that side to him. So I'm picking things that I've seen people do that are kind of nerdy over the years. Like, I used to know this guy who, whenever he made a clever remark, he would inhale like he was very proud of that remark.
Right.
And I'm going to use that. H.P. Lovecraft is going to do that. And that's what you do. You just pick up bits and pieces of people here and there and use them as the occasion arises.
Sure, sure. I imagine that makes it a lot easier to identify with a character if you can remember somebody that did something similar to something you think that character would do. It gives you kind of a reference of something that you've seen before.
Oh, yeah. It all has to be tied into real life. Acting doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens in the real world.
And obviously, talking to you right now, too, clearly you've had classical training as an actor as well. You didn't just fall into acting. I mean, you've gone to school for this?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Sure. And where'd you attend?
I had some good teachers. I cobbled together my own curriculum from Carnegie Mellon, which had the best teachers in town. It still does, I think. And University of Pittsburgh. I studied with Cecil Kitcat, Cecil Kitcat studied acting with Maria Uspenskaya, who was a character actress in Hollywood back in the 30s and 40s. And Maria had studied acting with Stanislavski himself in Russia. So I'm just two removes from Stanislavski. And I had a great voice and speech teacher, Denise Dumarier, and she was wonderful and worked with me solo and in classes for a couple of years. And Lyleen Mansell and some other good people.
Okay,
it was a custom curriculum.
Well, that works out for a lot of people. I mean, to take the best of what you need and put it together and avoid the kind of stuff that you're either already good at or just don't require.
Yeah, just look for the good teachers. That's the secret.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't be taught a bunch of junk, can you?
Yeah.
So, obviously, since you've been taught, now you've also been teaching as well. You have your own acting students.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, I mean, besides directing your students, have you also done any writing or directing of your own projects that have ended up on film?
I used to direct film a lot several years ago, but mostly educational, industrial stuff. I would write scripts, I would direct. I had a great job for a while doing an annual biography for the American Ireland Fund. And I got to travel to Ireland and got to meet some interesting people, including Gregory Peck. We did a film about him and some other interesting folks. So, yeah, I've done that. But I really, my first love is working on stage, really, with an audience right there in the room with you. You can't beat the thrill of that.
Yeah, there's been other, obviously, actors like Tom Hanks, who he went and tried his hand at directing when he did that thing that you do, and then afterwards they interviewed him. He said, "I don't want to ever do that again."
Oh, jeez.
He said, "I don't want to do that anymore. It was so hard. It was so hard."
Well, directing is hard, and that's one of the reasons I admire George Romero so much. When we worked on Dawn of the Dead, it was like driving a Mercedes or being driven in a Mercedes by a friendly bear. Because George is kind of a big guy, kind of a bear, but really warm and nice. And his movie-making machine worked with perfect smoothness. Because he worked everything out in advance, he knew what he wanted. Everybody who worked with him knew what he wanted, and they just did it. He was used to, to raise money to keep going between feature films. He made lots of commercials and documentary films. And when you do that kind of work, you have to shoot really fast, especially documentaries. You got to catch it on the fly. You're into a location, you shoot for 10 minutes, and you're gone. And so he knew how to work fast and efficiently and get everything he needed right there and no questions, and it's a buy, and you go home. So that's the way he worked on Dawn of the Dead. And I really appreciated that because it was so efficient. David Early, whom I did a scene with, you know, we kind of introduced the ideas of zombies in the beginning of the film in an interview in a TV studio. I think we only worked half a day. I don't think we even got lunch because everything went so smoothly and it was over.
Wow, that has not been my
experience. Of course, we were prepared
too.
We were used to working together on stage, and that's how George found us. He saw a production of The Trial of the Catonsville Nine, which was about the Berrigan brothers, two Catholic priests who protested the Vietnam War and went to prison for protesting more than the authorities wanted them to protest. And we played brothers, and David being African-American and me being white, we were way ahead of our time with interracial casting. And George saw us do that show, and he cast us out of that. And David and I were used to working together, used to rehearsing together, so we went to my apartment and rehearsed, and so we went into the shoot knowing what we wanted to do, and then George knew what he wanted to do, so it went just very smoothly.
Wow, so you didn't actually have like a show up for an open audition. He kind of saw something that you were already doing, and he just said, "Hey, you don't have to audition. I like you."
Right, he said we were right for the role, so he just called us in. It was cool.
Yeah, I would imagine that'd be really awesome. So, you know, given his history, you know, and his body of work already at that time, even.
Well, at that time, I was barely aware of George. He had made Night of the Living Dead by then. In fact, it was about 10 years earlier that he'd made that, and then spent 10 years raising the money to make Dawn of the Dead. So I didn't know much about him except as a local TV commercial guy. That was how I knew him, you know, from the film people in town. And didn't think of him much as a feature filmmaker. So it wasn't an honor to work for him. I had no idea. I had no idea he was so good, that movie would be so good and last so long. So I didn't have the proper deference. But wow. I have certainly since learned how good he is and how grateful I need to be to have been in that film.
Now, was Romero, did he, is he the kind of person that had a lot of assistant directors handling things or second crews, or was he pretty much there all the time?
Well, I can't speak for the whole production because I was only there that one day, but he was definitely in charge. He had his DP and a couple of ADs and, you know, the gaffers and the people who had jobs to do, but it was not a hierarchy. You know, George gave the orders. He knew what he wanted and he got it.
Well, that's the way it should be. It comes from the mind straight to, you know, the last word or the bottom line. You know, it comes from his mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, obviously, if you had no idea who he was and you had no idea that Dawn of the Dead was going to be the phenomenon that it was, obviously, I'm sure you're taken back by the fact that people want you all over the place for Comic-Cons and things like that, because people just love that movie so much that they just want to meet every person that they can from those movies. They want to get the collectibles. They want to get their pictures taken with them. I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, do you like it, hate it, what?
Oh, I love it. I love the conventions. I haven't signed up for any lately because I've been so busy. But I signed on to Facebook last year, and it was like being invaded. People from Germany, from all over Great Britain, from Japan, and of course all over the U.S. signed on as my Facebook friends. And I was surprised. But I do love the conventions. The last one I was at, as a matter of fact, it was a very interesting convention. It was here in Pittsburgh about a year ago. And it was for people who do haunted houses, for who play roles or who manage or whatever in haunted houses. And those were the convention goers. And I taught a course there, how to be horrifying for people who act in haunts. And I think it went over pretty well. They liked it because I brought in some of the techniques that regular professional actors use and adapted them for how you might use them in a haunt. And also, we got up on our feet and everybody practiced the whole time. So they kind of liked that. And I think it went over well. And I got my Christmas shopping list. Do you have any idea what people sell for haunted houses? You can get... wait a minute. Hang on a second. It's right here somewhere. Here's a catalog of stuff that they sell for haunted houses. You can get a bucket of over 2,000 one-inch glow-in-the-dark sticky maggots for only $99.
Awesome.
Either that or the mixed bucket of bugs when you get 288 roaches, 100 worms, 528 maggots, and 700 flies for $99. And it's stuff like that. You can do all your Christmas shopping right out of these catalogs.
Absolutely. Or people can do their Christmas shopping for me.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I have actually, I don't know if you've talked much with, I know that I connected with you through Michael Klinkenbeard. He's a director friend of mine and obviously a friend of yours as well.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if he told you or not that I had also written, directed, and produced three of my own movies as well, and two of those being zombie movies. So
he did not tell me that, but I've got to see them.
Yeah, I would love a bucket of roaches and blood and stuff. And that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very useful stuff. And that's only the beginning. All kinds of severed heads and fog makers and, you know, everything you might want for horror.
For horror, yeah. So obviously you said you haven't signed up to any upcoming Comic-Cons or anything like that.
No, I haven't. My schedule's going to get a little easier later in the year, and I think I'll look into that. So maybe I'll go to a few.
The reason I bring that up is there is one very local here in Detroit. It's called Motor City Nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and find them on Facebook as well. But they have been building quite big, actually. And they've had several different people from Dawn of the Dead and from Night of the Living Dead and stuff there as well. So it's just something to look into. It is getting pretty big every year now.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. Well, I've heard of them, definitely. And some of my friends have been there, yeah. So I'll look them up.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you got some projects coming up here. I understand that you're back on the stage again, and now you don't need anybody. You're all by yourself up there now.
Oh yeah, that's right. The solo shows. I had a great time with Poe over the past year. The 1 month run in Edinburgh, Scotland, and then I'm working on a run that I have almost booked for later this year in Pittsburgh, and I'm booked into an arts festival in Michigan in July, and it's great. It's I love playing Poe, and then H.P. Lovecraft is coming along too.
What's the biggest challenge for you when you're doing a one man show?
The hugeness of the work. There's an enormous amount of reading and research, and deciding how to shape it. What aspects of the guy's life you want to deal with, and which of his published works you want to deal with, and then memorizing. Good heavens. You probably have never sat down and tried to memorize The Pit and the Pendulum. Uh-huh. I don't recommend it. It takes weeks of memorizing 19th century prose. It doesn't just flow into your head like a play script does. It wasn't written to be read aloud or performed. So it's an uphill battle. But I love the work. I really do. It's artistically very satisfying.
That is awesome, though, that it's well received. I mean, you're doing the Comic Cons. You've got the Dawn of the Dead phenomenon going. You're a teacher. You're professionally trained. I mean, you've got many, many irons in the fire, as some people would say. And it seems like every one of them seems to be successful.
Well, more or less, yeah. I am busy with lots of different stuff. And in fact, I'd like to slow down a little bit and do some just traveling. You know, just see some of the world before it gets too late. And in fact, I'm working on getting booked into a show in Germany this fall, and that will be a great opportunity to see some of that part of the world. You know, tell them to make my return plane ticket 2 weeks after the show, so I can spend some time just bumming around the country.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that works out.
Yeah, pull some more experiences for some more upcoming performances.
Oh yeah, you're always gathering material. The life of the artist never ends. Yeah. Even in your dreams, you know, you think of stuff in the middle of the night. Got to keep a pencil and pad by the bed so you write your ideas down. Well, you know that. You're an artist, too.
Well, sure.
Did you write those scripts? Or?
Oh, yeah. Wrote the scripts. I directed them. I was even the cameraman and the editor. I had to do everything myself because, obviously, I have no money.
Yeah.
When you have no money, you pretty much figure out how to do it yourself, cheap.
Well, it's a start, you know.
That's right.
You build from there. You'll get funding someday.
Hey, you can pay Tom Savini a huge amount of money to create a bucket full of roaches, or you can get them for $99, like you said. You just got to be smart.
Yes, exactly.
You got to be smart.
You take your bargains where you can find them.
That's right. That's right. So, where can people go online right now to find out more information about your shows that you're doing right now?
Well, I should have that more together than I do. There's a Facebook page for my Poe show. The title of the show is Poe's Last Night, and it's on Facebook. There's also a Poe's Last Night website, but I am awful. I am so incompetent at making websites, and It's not very much. So if you want to know anything about the show, go to Facebook. And I'll be getting up an H.P. Lovecraft site sometime in the next month or two.
Okay. Well, that's David Crawford from the original 1978 Dawn of the Dead. That was 78, yes? I'm right.
Right.
I am right. Somebody told me it was 79. I was like, no, I'm telling you. It was 78.
Yes. 78 is the official year.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else for you, sir. I do appreciate your time. I know that you are busy trying to get your websites going and you're teaching classes and doing your shows and everything, so I do appreciate you scheduling this time with me.
No, it's my pleasure, Keith. Happy to be with you. I enjoyed it very much.
All right. Well, you have a fantastic day, and I hope I can interview you again later on for another project.
Oh, right. Cool.
All right. You have an excellent day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.